A reading from Ephesians. I beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
There are a lot of pastors who can tell you their call story, what it was like when they got called into the ministry. For some, it was a long, slow process. They were in school. They were young. They began to suspect that God was calling them in that direction. For some people, it might have been sudden, even when they're in some other career. They're a chemist. And all of a sudden, they just get the call that says, you need to go into the ministry. And they leave their nets and go. I have a friend who had an experience like that. She was gardening. And suddenly, Jesus appeared at the end of the beans. She had this vision that Jesus was standing there and he said, Connie, you should be a minister. And she said, okay, and she did. I don't have a story like that. I don't have any story. I'm the sixth generation Methodist minister on my dad's side of the family. So my call to the ministry happened sometime in the early 1840s. Like, I missed it. I wasn't there. I just grew up and sort of took on the family trade, followed in my dad's footsteps, and it wasn't until I was actually serving as a pastor in a church that it occurred to me to ask, what the heck? How did I get here? What am I doing here? What? And then I discovered that it's pretty easy to ask, what am I doing here? It's a lot harder to ask, what am I doing here? What do I need to do? I do remember the call. Every pastor in the United Methodist Church probably remembers all the calls they've gotten, because when the bishop appoints you to a new church, you get a telephone call. The district superintendent calls you up. I remember Bob Barnes on the phone saying, the bishop would like to appoint you to Whitehall, Montana. And I remember thinking, great, where's Whitehall? It's a little tiny town that I wasn't really familiar with. I remember when I was painting the office and hanging a new ceiling in the church in Whitehall, standing on the church office desk when the phone rang, and I answered it, and it's the district superintendent saying, the bishop would like to appoint you and your wife together to the church in Big Fork, Montana. And I thought, wow, cool. Big Fork is a resort town near Glacier Park. That was a good 10 years. I remember in Big Fork getting a phone call from Lyle Hamilton saying, the bishop would like to appoint you to First Church in Missoula. And I remember thinking, ay, ay, ay. Big, old, conflicted, dysfunctional church. Huge and messed up. And the district superintendent said, we know we're not doing any favor by sending you there. I remember when Beth told me that the district superintendent had called and said that the bishop wanted to appoint her to Shiloh Church in Billings and didn't really have anything for me. We were going to move and I was going to be unemployed. And I thought, okay, this is an adventure. I remember Jan Smith Rustin on the phone when I was in Montana saying, we have an appointment for you in Bow, New Hampshire. And there I am with the phone crooked in my shoulder looking at a map of New England saying, great, yeah, where's Bo? Where's New Hampshire? And I remember on the ninth floor of Beth Israel Deaconess, standing in Beth's hospital room after she had had major surgery, looking out over South Boston, her cell phone rings, and it's a district superintendent. Now, Rick and Larry, you know what this is like. When you get a phone call from a district superintendent that's not your own during hunting season, which is basically January, February, March, you know it's the call. Your life flashes before your eyes. So I'm standing there. Ron Wilson says, "Hi, I'm the district superintendent." And you just go blank. They go, "Wah, wah, 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 wah." And you're not listening. You're waiting until you hear. You're just waiting until the district superintendent says, "The bishop would like to appoint you to..." It could be anywhere from Caribou, Maine to Hartford, Connecticut. It could be on the Cape. It could be downtown Boston. It could be Springfield. You have no way of knowing till he blurts out, "St. Matthew's in Acton." And I said, "Great, my wife is in the hospital. I'll call you later." And then I discovered that it's easy to know your call. Go be the pastor at St. Matthew's. It's a lot harder to know your calling. What kind of pastor am I supposed to be at St. Matthew's? What do you need? What do you need for me to do? How do you need for me to be? And that's not a one-time call. That goes on and on and on. Every day, I have to keep asking myself, "Okay, God, what do you need here? It's probably not what I thought you needed a year ago or 6 years ago." It keeps changing. Sometimes God's call is a vocation. That word vocation related to the word voice, meaning call and response. Sometimes it does mean, "I want you to change jobs." Sometimes it's a big thing like, "I want you to go to Africa. I want you to go work with Doctors Without Borders in the Middle East." Sometimes it's a lot more vague. Because ultimately, it's not just a call to do a certain thing. It's to be a certain person. And that involves doing things, but it comes from way deep. That can be scary, because sometimes the fishermen do have to get up and leave things behind. Notice how Mark is pretty specific. They left their nets and followed Jesus. Ugh, we hate to have to let go of things that are familiar and that we've counted on. James and John had to leave behind their father in the boat with the hired hands. It's like he's listing all the things they had to let go of. That makes it hard. And they don't know what's coming next. We don't really know. Had Jesus known these guys for a long time? Had he just met them and he kind of knew them? Or were they complete strangers? But what we do know is when he said, "Follow me," that was like turning a page. It's a new chapter. Some unknown. That can be scary. It can be confusing. The thing is, God is calling us all the time. Not just to some big project, but to be the people God creates us to be. Sometimes it feels like we don't want to hear God's call because God might say, "Go be a missionary in India," and I don't want to go to India and be a missionary. But that's probably not going to happen. Probably what God is going to call you to do is to be the person God creates you to be. It's more of a call home than a call away. Imagine you've been hiking in the woods and it's snowed and there's 3 feet of snow and the snow has obliterated the trail and you've gotten lost. And nighttime has come, and you're a long way out, and you don't know where you are, and somebody comes along in snowshoes with a headlamp and says, "Follow me." I bet you'll follow, even if they're a stranger, because you know they know the way. And they're not taking you off in the woods somewhere. They're leading you home. That's where you want to go. And you follow them not just sort of approximately, but right behind them because they have snowshoes. And they're tramping out a trail for you to make it easier for you to walk. And you don't want to lag too far behind because they've got the light and it's dark. You want to stay right close. Jesus is calling you into your life, not out of it. But still, sometimes it's pretty dark. It's hard to know what's coming next. It's hard to give ourselves permission to just go. Because we can fool ourselves into thinking that we're not lost in the woods and there isn't 3 feet of snow and it's not dark. I don't have to go anywhere. I can stay here in the fishing boat. But But there's something in us that still longs to follow. So I've been talking with somebody lately who's got this thing going on. Leslie Brew, who's agreed to come and share with us something of what that's like for her. We've been talking here and there and in the Tuesday Bible study, and I finally said, Leslie, come talk to us about this. There's a lot more than there were at the first service. They're just coming with you. So what's going on inside Leslie Brew?
So the way I would describe it is... The way I would describe it is just this pull forward. I just feel like I'm being pulled from here somewhere. And I don't know exactly where, but it feels really good. Mm. And you said something earlier about being at peace or being called to be who you are, really. And that's how I feel. I feel like I am becoming who I'm supposed to be. I'm not there yet, but it feels very content. I feel very content and scared and very open. And a lot of what you say in the service, in your sermon and in our Bible study and in all the different ways we all meet and talk, I feel so, like, just so open. Like, if, like, I would be the person in the boat saying, okay, and just go. Mm-hmm. And so I've had a lot of experiences lately where I just feel really pulled. It's like a magnet is just pulling me forward. But it feels really, really good and sometimes really scary.
Like, for instance?
So, a month or so ago, I came into our Bible study class just beside myself because I had this feeling that I had to go into Boston or Cambridge on a cold day and bring people warm clothes and food. And I think it came about when a couple of weeks earlier we were in Cambridge and I saw someone on the street and it was a really, really cold day. And I realized I should have given him my coat, and I didn't. And I just felt so, like, I've never felt so called. I've never had that. I would have never used that word to describe any experience I've ever had. And I didn't hear God talk to me, but I knew it was God telling me that this is what I needed to do. So on Christmas Eve day, I dragged my husband, who kept telling me there was a better way to do this, and I kept saying there isn't. This is what I have to do. It wasn't like I had a choice. And so I had gone and bought a bunch of hats and gloves and scarves and things. We grabbed things around the house and boxes of granola bars, and we just went into Cambridge Harvard Square. And I'd never really approached a homeless person before. I see them, but I never see them. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it had to be a personal experience. Like, it wasn't, like, donating a coat wasn't to a cleaners wasn't what I needed to do. I needed to experience, have a connection. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even think about what I was going to say. It didn't occur to me to think about what I was going to do when I got there, until I got there. And we brought a dog with us because I thought that would be maybe like a conversation starter. But I just started walking up to people and telling them what I had and asking them if they needed or wanted any of those things. And people were so nice and it felt really good. And it was an amazing experience.
And it's not the kind of thing you usually do.
No, it was not at all. And yesterday, I happened to be walking around in another city in a completely different part of the country. I flew home last night, and I had extra food in my bag, and I saw people on the street, and I offered someone an apple, and then I offered another guy an orange, and I just never would have done that before. And I just feel like it's opened, I just feel like I have an more open heart, and I feel like I see things differently, and I just feel more at peace.
Isn't that something?
That yes.
That you've taken on something that feels kind of strange, definitely unknown.
Terrifying.
A little scary, and you're at peace with that.
Yeah.
Isn't that a miracle?
It is.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Isn't that just cool? It's enough to make you believe in God, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's, and I just keep feeling the more I listen, the more I'm pulled. And the more I'm pulled, the more love I feel. And the more love I feel, the more at peace I feel.
Wow. I think we should pray. God, thank you for the work you are doing in Leslie. Continue to bless and guide and sustain her. Thank you for the work you are doing in each of us. Lead us. Call us to follow. Give us your grace. Amen. Thank you. I think that's pretty powerful. And it occurs to me that the best part of the sermon that Leslie just preached is the power of saying yes. The first part is listening for the call. Last week, scriptures told us that we need to listen for God's call in our life. But then there's this miracle that Leslie has borne witness to, that sometimes the next part of the miracle we don't know until we step into it. And we follow, and then there's more love. And there's more miracle, but we have to step into it. That's why we're here. To help each other. To do this thing that can sometimes feel scary, but to give each other enough support in doing it that they can go ahead and do it and find, even in the scariness, that peace. That doesn't settle them, maybe, but sends them on farther. And we're willing to do that because they're doing it for us. We're all doing it for each other. And we're doing it together as a church, asking, God, where are you calling us to go? And the thing is, Jesus isn't way out there calling us to traverse the distance. Jesus is right here. Like 2 inches in front of you. Stepping into your life. Right ahead of you. And all we have to do is sense that presence and go that way. Like Leslie said, you're not going to hear voices. You're not very often going to see Jesus standing at the end of the beams telling you what to do. It's going to be that magnet in you, that compass that points. Whenever you feel that pull of love, of forgiveness, or humility, or awe, or generosity, just say yes. Just follow it. It will be good. It will be the way home. It will be a miracle. And you'll get used to miracles. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your presence in our lives. And we open our hearts that we might listen and watch. And we pray for the grace to follow. God, we give you thanks. We pray for the faith to receive your blessings. to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace.